Hey, welcome to the post-game mini-podcast. I'm Eric Kane alongside Austin Price and Matt Ray. Tennessee falls 42-17 in the college football playoffs here at Ohio State on a Saturday night. Austin, no ifs, ands, buts about it. Tennessee got whipped. It's a very disappointing way to end your season that had a lot of highs, a lot of excitement. But at the end of the day, you were down 21-0 in the first quarter. Your offense was a shell of itself all game long, and your defense has been so good. Gave up a season high 42 points.
Yeah, it was a really bad performance all the way around on both sides of the ball. Offensive line couldn't protect. Wide receivers couldn't get open. Dylan Sampson barely played. And Tennessee's defense had their worst outing, as you just pointed out. So, you know, for the however many thousand, 25, 30,000 Tennessee fans that showed up at the Shoe, I think that's probably their biggest problem as they drive home tonight or drive home tomorrow morning on a Sunday, is the way the game played. It's not that they lost. It's how they lost, how they were, you know, down 21-0 in a blink, and the game was – I wouldn't say over because they clawed back and made it 21-10 at the half, but it was over pretty early in the third quarter.
Well, it was over as soon as Ohio State scored that touchdown in the third quarter, and you go three and out after the – you know, getting that football back to begin the second half. Matt, you were down there on the field, man. We'll get to the game here in a moment, obviously. But as Austin pointed out, I mean, what a showing by Tennessee fans. You know, it was a fun game to kind of play. How many Tennessee fans are going to be there? There was orange everywhere in that stadium in pregame warmups. You know, Ohio State fans were going on the field and there was booing. I mean, that never happens on the away field. It felt like everything you wanted leading into this game happened, and Tennessee unfortunately didn't take advantage of. But you know, how loud was that down there for Tennessee at points at times? I mean, what a showing by the Tennessee fan base.
Yeah, I mean, at one point, you know, I was down in front of the band, and you know, Tennessee's going through warmups. It's right before, you know, maybe about the 30-minute mark into warmups. It was loud. I mean, it started to sound like a home game as they're, you know, getting ready to hit the locker room. As they kicked the extra point there and before they went in. And like you said, it just felt like things lined up. It felt like the way that the team come out of the locker room, they were pretty loose. You know, but as Austin said, they were down 21-0 in the blink of an eye. And, you know, when you do that against a team like this, it's really tough no matter what you do to claw back. You have to have everything go your way. And Ohio State played really good football tonight. You know, in all three – phases of the game and at all three levels, especially, you know, I thought defensively they really gave Tennessee a fit, limited them on the outside. You know, Davison, Igbinosin, you know, a guy that's been targeted at times when Ohio State struggled this year, you know, really didn't let up much tonight. Caleb Downs, fantastic. The Jack Sawyer, fantastic. The pass rush, really good. You know, overall for Tennessee, it was hard to get anything going. And you know, that's been a theme on the road, and you know, you had a lot of things line up in your favor tonight. You know, so like Austin said, for the 30,000 ish that showed up, that's a tough pill to swallow.
Well, at the end of the day, this team wasn't going to win. It's easy to say here after we look at the game and go, they were never won this game. Like the way Ohio State played and the way Tennessee played, you know, Dylan Sampson could have played the whole game. I don't think it would have mattered. You couldn't stop them. And they did pretty much whatever they wanted to. You know, flares out of the backfield. Jeremiah Smith, I mean, that dude's – I mean, listen, I think Caleb Williams is really good at Alabama. I'd take Jeremiah Smith 10 out of 10 times over Caleb Williams. And you know, that's just – you know, I mean, it kind of is what it is. I mean, I just think that he's that explosive. He's that good. And that says a lot because, I mean – or, sorry, Ryan Williams. Ryan Williams from Alabama, you know, and Ryan Williams is fantastic. But, I mean, Jeremiah Smith's just so friggin' explosive.
Well, when you look at what Ohio State has had here, you know, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Ted Ginn.
Like, these are those guys, legit first-round guys that have gone to the league, produced. You hear people around here talk about like Jeremiah Smith may be the best, and he's a freshman. He's a unicorn in a lot of ways, and you know you saw him get on top of Ricky Gibson and Jermaine McCoy, you know, beat him for touchdowns. You know, beat both of Tennessee's corners for touchdowns. But what do you do with him? Because you want to walk up and take away that mesh concept where he's torching you underneath because he has the speed. Well, when you do that, he can get on top of you. He's got a good enough release. He's physical enough. He can body you down the field. I mean, he's truly a nightmare mismatch. And when you've got Will Howard making throws like he did tonight, there's nothing you can do with him. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to swallow.
Awesome. Let's go back to Dylan Sampson. And we talked about this in the two-minute drill a little bit, but he was obviously very limited tonight. He got a couple early runs. Didn't see him for a while. They put him back in there in the third quarter. They threw a pass to him. I mean, he was very ineffective. And Josh Hopple spoke on it in post-game. Joey Halsey spoke on him post-game. You know, I don't want to minimize this because obviously he is the SEC Player of the Year. So not having him hurt you. Still, in the grand scheme of things, Tennessee got whipped at the line of scrimmage. And Tennessee didn't block. And so, like, I don't know if he was full go, how much more he could have helped Tennessee. But nonetheless, the latest on Dylan Sampson, how big of a loss was that tonight?
It was a big loss. You know, again, I don't think it changes the outcome of the game. But it obviously, you know, when you lose your best player, it hurts. And, you know, Tennessee offensively just never was able to get anything on the ground going as far as called runs. I mean, they had a little bit of success there in the fourth quarter when it didn't matter. Peyton Lewis ripped up like a 26-yard run or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like anything Nico did was just kind of improvisation. There's going to be – coming out of this one, I think there's going to be some soul-searching in the program. You've come a long way. You've done some fantastic things. But I think to take the next step – and to not have this kind of be a ceiling, to bust through the ceiling, I think some decisions got to, you know, have to, you know, be looked at as far as just kind of, you know, how they run the offense. And I don't mean like fire Joey Halsey. I think that's silly. But like just like why is it so different than 2022? I get some of the game stuff has changed.
Like
I
mean, an extreme self-scout. Like,
yeah,
like everybody does a self-scout at the end of their year.
But why is the offense so different? Like tonight, like, they just throw those 6-yard digs and curls, and like even when they tried to, you know, they couldn't get open down the field. Like, why are the wide receivers struggling to get open? Why is that? Talent? Is that something else? I mean, the offensive line can't protect. You know, what you know, like, is that something where they're going to have to, you know, take a deep dive look at that? Again, I'm not saying coaches need to be fired. Like that, I don't do those type of things. That's not my call. But like, what I'm saying is like you got to look at just the overall season, I think it's remarkable this team went 10-3 now, but 10-2 in the regular season. When you factor in just kind of how limited at times they were on offense, how they were just lacked big passing plays on offense, and then you know just kind of some of the struggles they did have. You know they found ways to win football games, but I think to bust through the ceiling, so to speak. And take this thing to another level where they're getting to the Rose Bowl or one of the bigger bowls to, you know, advance past the first round of the college football playoff. They've got to make some changes, and that includes the roster. I think the roster's got to be overhauled a little bit. I mean, you look at tonight, I mean, Ohio State had Caleb Downs and Tennessee safeties were lacking. You know, I mean, Ohio State had Jeremiah Smith. Tennessee's wide receivers were lacking. Yeah. The running backs for Ohio State had good nights. Judkins not as much as Travion Henderson. Not that Travion Henderson was fantastic. It looked more like the kid that was coming out of Virginia a handful of years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, and kind of found his footing. And of course, Dylan Sampson did not play, which is not, you know, you're not comparing him to Sampson tonight. We all know what Dylan brings to the table. So again, I think they got to do some soul searching when it comes to the roster. I think it's important to, and I'm getting on long winded and getting on my high horse here. And I talked about this on the 2-minute drill. But I'm not fired up about it like I was at Arkansas that night. There's going to be a lot of, hey, I need this amount of money. Hey, I need this amount of money. Tennessee's got to be willing to say no. Because some of the guys on the roster tonight that are going to ask for more money, you don't want to just burn cash. Like Tennessee's not got some just crazy overflow of money. Like they have to be smart about it. And, you know, I think that the decisions that happen over the next week or so will tell the tale. There's going to be guys on this team that play tonight that will go in the portal. That's going to happen. In fact, I would bet there's one or two that probably already know kind of where they're headed, you know, but they were going to play and stick it out through however long Tennessee played. So I mean, there's going to be some change, and Tennessee's got to be smart with counter punches to the change, and smart also with guys that they feel like they need to keep in their program.
Obviously, there's the season's over, but Fast and Furious of the portal and all that, and we'll keep you up to date on all that at BallQuest.com. Bringing it back to this game, Matt, and Austin was kind of saying how at points in time it was really kind of surprising that you were able to go 10-3 this year with because you were inefficient in certain areas on offense, and it goes back to you really relied on that run game, really relied on that defense. Well, the run game wasn't there tonight in the traditional sense, and I understand Dylan Sampson didn't play, but run blocking was not great tonight. I just thought overall in this game, both sides of the line of scrimmage, Matt, just very disappointing. Tennessee could not block up front. Couldn't block up front, couldn't affect the passer on the defensive side of the football. We talked about it going into Georgia week. We talked about it for 3 weeks about how this offensive line for Ohio State is, you got a couple of backups in there, how they played poorly against Michigan. Always had that caveat, though, saying, hey, we talked about this in Georgia and Tennessee was ineffective. It was almost like rinse repeat. And as you mentioned earlier, when Howard has that time and he has these guys at his disposal, I mean, it's a no contest. And so I think the biggest disappointment in my eyes from this football game was just the complete lack, inability defensively to make a difference, and it starts up front. Tennessee's defensive line and front seven were just held in check all night long.
Yeah, well, we left Athens late, similar to this, talking about how Carson Beck, and
he baked cookies, is what Eric called it.
Yeah, flip the script and look like the guy that everybody talked about before the season, and he had all day to throw.
Howard was making gingerbread cookies tonight.
At the end of the day, that game didn't get away from you as much. You were in it, 24-17 there. They score with a minute and a half to go. But the difference is Carson Beck doesn't have those weapons at his disposal. That's not a knock to Georgia, but they're a different style of football team. They're not trotting out Carnell Tate.
And he's
number three.
Number three. Yeah, Abuga is freaky, and Jeremiah Smith is
ridiculous. And then you've got those running backs out of the backfield. You've got Howard's legs, and you've got a tight end that's pretty dang good too. For Tennessee, you didn't do anything to really protect Nico tonight. He carried the ball 20 times. I'm not going to get on my soapbox about that because I thought Nico, for a lot of the criticism that he's took throughout the year, was really good at times tonight and extended the play, getting Tennessee in favorable situations, really kind of laying it all out there. But you weren't able to protect him. You weren't able to give him a lot of help. Joey Halsey talked about it in postgame. He was asked about the inefficiencies in the downfield passing game, what goes into that, and he – kind of rattled off. It's take your turn, and that starts with blocking up front, Nico making a throw, catching the ball down the field. Tonight, Tennessee really didn't take a shot, maybe two shots down the field. Nico made a poor throw on one and drilled one into, Chris Brazel, and it bounced right off his chest and hit the ground. Again, that's kind of what it's going back to, and that's kind of been the story for Tennessee throughout the year with the downfield passing game. It feels like everybody wants to compare that to 2022. How fair is that? It's probably not fair. That offense was different, obviously, in a lot of different
rules
ways.
Rules were different some. And that's a little bit of it. But at the same time, like this.
But.
It just feels like the routes are different. Like,
it does.
You don't stack them. I don't get how it looks so different. Like, I'm not saying it's got to be the exact same because I do think things morph.
You had Jalen Hyde that was, matched up with a linebacker against Kentucky. Now, where's that?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this Florida-Alabama when we kind of went back to maybe the scheme isn't broken. You had some guys running free at different times. You didn't see that tonight. There weren't guys running free. Tennessee tried to do a couple of things there in the middle eight, tried to draw some things up. And Nico got sacked on one of them. They hit a switch concept to the outside, had Braylon Staley coming across on a deeper type drag, kind of what you used to see with Height, because obviously there's some similarities in that game there, I think, in terms of speed and what he does in the slot. And Tennessee was covered up in every aspect. There was nothing there. The pressure was immediate, but it would not have mattered. Nico was going to have to throw it away or try to run for it because there was nothing there downfield. So until you can – to kind of further on what Joey Halsey said, yeah, you have to take your turn, but Tennessee's got to start getting more separation on the outside in the passing game to create shots across the middle at the intermediate level to create those, you know, deeper shots where those safeties just can't, you know, sit red dead on you and come up and make the plays that they need to.
Yeah, I'll also say this too, and this is a bigger conversation. I know we're running out of time here. I also think that Cedric Tillman, Jalen Hyatt, Bayless Jones, they were some dogs. I think Brew McCoy's a dog, but he ain't that area code. You know what I'm saying? Like, Tennessee's got a lot of athletic players. Tennessee's got some good talent, but you know, Tillman, Hyatt, and Jones, I mean, they were some dogs, and they got to go. So I think personnel at some point also, you know, makes a difference, obviously. Last thing, you know, we kind of ended with this on the two-minute drill. Austin, I'll kick it to you. You know, Tennessee, 10 wins in the regular season. You made the college football playoff. That was the expectation we talked about all offseason. You made the college football playoffs. You had the best defense you've had in quite some time. So many positives to this season. It feels like you took a step in the right direction. However, and you said this earlier, you lose 42-17. It just doesn't feel like it right now. So what do you tell fans right now that are driving home through the night that are just so pissed off?
The sun will come up tomorrow. That Christmas is just a few days away. And also to remember to, you know, where you were. You've been some dark places as a program the last 15 years. Listen, like they got to do some things to bust through the ceiling, as I talked about earlier. But like this program is still just light years better than what it was just a couple of years ago. I mean, who ever thought we'd be covering the college football playoff? You know, I mean, just where it's been, like how they lost. I mean, they lost games like this 42-17.
On the regular. Yeah.
And, you know, program's come a long way. You got to figure some things out. But, you know, again, on the whole, it's in much more stable footing. And, you know, again, there'll be some change. I mean, there always is.
For the final time in the 2024 football season, we'll say goodbye here on the post-game mini-pod. I'm Eric Kane, Austin Price, Matt Ray. Tennessee falls in the college football playoffs first round here at Ohio State, 42-17. Stay up to date at VolQuest.com. We've got tons of reactionary coverage. There's a lot up there right now. We'll have a ton tomorrow. Transfer portal, it's going to be swirling like crazy. We got a lot of great content coming for you on Christmas Day. Thank you guys so much for being with us every game this football season. And we'll continue to talk to you over on the Journal's Quarters. Appreciate you guys.